Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye.
Yeah, our top stories this evening.
The bitter succession rivalry in ZANU-PF that were threatening to unravel following the busing in of thousands of ZANU-PF loyalists to Harare today became an anticlimax.
It came to us as a surprise. We are not happy, actually, because if you look at the economic condition which is prevailing right now, you can actually see that things are very difficult. We don't even have money to pay for school fees for our children. We don't have money to buy even food for ourselves.
Faced with drought, Mashingo villagers say they are now being forced to fork out money for President Robert Mugabe's 80,000 birthday bash.
The watchdog group Transparency International Zimbabwe is continually launching the government's anti-corruption drive.
And in the U.S., Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders and outspoken Republican billionaire Donald Trump coasted to big victories in their respective party presidential primaries in New Hampshire yesterday.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Scores of hunger-stricken villagers and rural teachers in Mashingo province have expressed the concern over ZANU-PF officials in the province who are forcing them to contribute money towards the hosting of President Robert Mugabe's $80,000 birthday party to be held there at the end of the month when Mr. Mugabe turns 92. Our correspondent Gantry Maramba reports from Mashingo.
The villagers said the party leaders have instructed villagers and headmasters to collect between $1 and $7 so that they meet the 800,000 target for the lavish birthday party to be held at the Great Zimbabwe Monuments. The villagers said forcing them to contribute money for the one-day event was not logical, as their families were staring massive starvation in the face due to severe food shortages caused by the El Nino-linked drought. Tedious Makore of Chimombe in Gutu said he is very close with the ruling party as his family was struggling to afford two decent meals per day.
It came to us as a surprise. We are not happy, actually, because if you look at the economic condition which is prevailing right now, you can actually see that things are very difficult. We don't even have money to pay for school fees for our children. We don't have money to buy even food for ourselves. Now we are forced to buy to contribute to the birthday of the president, the man who is also moneyed. He's full of money. We know that he should sponsor himself. Or if they don't have the money to do the bash, then it's better for them to stop it rather than to force us, the villagers who don't have anything, to do the contributions for them.
Another villager said he was surprised that the party would force them to fund the bash that they are never invited to, at a time their cattle were succumbing to the severe drought.
I feel very disturbed with this matter of paying $2 for the celebration of our president's birthday, because I myself, I have not just celebrated my birthday since the day of birth, but now I'm being forced to pay $2 for a birthday of someone, of which my cattle, they don't have anything to eat, so I must provide them with something to eat, which means I'm not struggling to cater for myself and cattle because I'm being forced to pay $2.
Teachers said the ZANU-PF officials made their district education officers, who in turn instructed their headmasters to collect the money from them. They, however, expressed dismay, saying their salaries were too low and were hard to come by. They added that they have not yet received their last year bonuses, but ZANU-PF is still insincere with them by forcing them to pay. A Zaka teacher who declined to be named for fear of victimization said they were forced to pay $5 despite the fact that they were living from hand to mouth.
Recently, there are some ZANU-PF officials who came and they had a meeting with our headmaster. And after the meeting, we were surprised when the headmaster called us to the assembly point, whereby he ordered all teachers to contribute $5 towards President Robert Mugabe's birthday party. But to us, some of us, it's very undemocratic and very unconstitutional. You find that we are getting our salaries late. We haven't been paid our bonuses. And then from that little that we are earning as salaries, now government is now forcing us to contribute. Unless if they said, if you can just pay the money wholeheartedly without being forced or being intimidated. Because we don't know, if you don't contribute, they said they are going to note our names down and specified action will be taken against those who have defied the order.
Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe PTUZ President Takawafira Joe confirmed the development and said it was illegal to force teachers to pay for the president's bash.
We have received the information to the effect that teachers are being forced in Gutu, Zaka, Bikita, Chiredzi, Mwanezi, Chivi, and some parts of Masvingo district to pay extortion amounts ranging from $1 to $7. Zaka is paying $5. We condemn outrightly such barbarous, nefarious, and backward extortions by a party that claimed to have liberated the Zimbabweans, but that is now oppressing Zimbabweans and treating teachers as if they are of no account. We have communicated to teachers at provincial level and district level that they must not be forced to pay the amounts for the president's birthday. We are also writing to the minister, as we have written in the past, that he must ensure that sanity prevails in schools and that teachers are treated as professionals. But we are aware that such officials, be it a district school or even the minister, are also afraid of their positions, because any attempt to stop the forced payments may also be misconstrued as an attempt against the birthday of the president. But we want teachers to be treated professionally, and those who are willing must pay out of their own volition, and they must not be forced to pay, because any attempt to force them is nothing but ludicrous hallucination, palpably unjust, and a monument of Zimbabwean injustice.
ZANU-PF Masvingo Party Chairman Ezra Chadzamira, when reached by Studio 7, refuted the allegations. Chadzamira said his party does not rely on funds donated by the poor, referring to the villagers and teachers. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Gandhi Maramba.
The Vice President of the Zimbabwe People's Union, ZAPU, Emilia Mukaratirwa, has resigned, but she says she will continue in politics, although not in her former party. Mukaratirwa tells Studio 7 she has no major differences with the ZAPU leadership, although she was frustrated with the non-holding of two elective congresses due to financial constraints. ZAPU, which was formed in 1961 but became defunct after its merger with ZANU, was revived in 2008 and has yet to win a single parliamentary seat under the leadership of Dumiso Dabengwa. Mukaratirwa speaks to us on her resignation.
Yes, I can confirm that I did resign as ZAPU vice president. And right now, I'm just going to take a breather. For how long, I don't know. But what I know for certain is that I will be remaining in the political circles. But where next, I don't know. We will see. We'll get to that when the time comes. But for now, this is very true that I'm no longer the ZAPU vice president following my resignation.
Would you say that there were differences between yourself and other members of ZAPU and also the leader, Dumiso Dabengwa, that prompted you to make this move? What prompted you to make this move at this particular time?
Oh, no, no, No. There was no such thing as being pushed out or some forces in terms of disagreements, bad working relations between me and President Gavengwa or anyone within the party for that matter. But actually, what happened is that it's something that at some point I just came to a point where I felt that I'd done my part and needed to pass on the baton to the next person, and that there was need for me to do that just before our Congress, which should have taken place sometime in August last year. But unfortunately, that was not to be because of certain challenges that the party faced. So upon realizing that those challenges seemed to be persisting, resulting in us still not managing to, you know, to have that Congress held to date, I then felt it was time to then go ahead and let everybody know, that is both party members and the public in general, that I was moving on. So it had nothing to do with dead relationships or anything like that.
That was former ZAPU Vice President Emilia Mukaratirwa speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
The watchdog group Transparency International Zimbabwe is cautiously lauding the government's anti-corruption drive, saying, while soft, it's a step in the right direction. The government last week unveiled a card with phone numbers that members of the public can contact to report cases of corruption, especially by law enforcement agents. Contacts on the so-called green card include that of the Attorney General, the Judicial Service Commission, the Prosecuting Authority, the Prison Services, the Law Society of Zimbabwe, the Police and the Justice Ministry. But Transparency Zimbabwe boss Lofty Duwe says the measure does not go far enough. He tells VOA reporter Ntungamili Nkomo prior initiatives have failed, adding what is needed to curb corruption is a strictly no-nonsense approach that targets even top government officials.
It's a commendable exercise in the sense that we're just getting a commitment from government. But it's not an issue that people don't know where to go to if they see corruption. They do know. They have seen that when they have tried to report in the past, nothing has happened, and people have just come to one conclusion that whatever is obtaining is the support of the government. The corruption that we see is supported by the government. It happens in high government office. It involves government ministers. So everyone had given up on that. They felt it was quite a waste of time to even engage on whistleblowing on corruption issues. Because since time immemorial, since independence, there's never been a commitment from our government to deal with issues of corruption.
Without any incentives, do you see members of the public forthcoming?
They might be forthcoming because I know a lot of Zimbabweans don't believe in corruption. But from experience, I do not see them now all of a sudden thinking that the government is committed to dealing with corruption, and then they will start coming up and exposing it. I think there will be a bit of skepticism drawn from previous experience that ultimately whatever they say or do, nothing would happen. It's a culture which has been created, which is ingrained in Zimbabweans' minds, that issues of corruption are part of government. They are part of the system. Everyone is corrupt. What do we do about it? But if there is a commitment, if some people report and action is taken, publicized action, concrete action, I think people will come out and report a lot of this malfeasance taking place.
How would you assess the Anti-Corruption Commission? It's been there for a couple of years now.
This is the same lack of commitment from those in power in dealing with the issues of corruption. And we saw that with the way the Anti-Corruption Commission was treated. Despite being set in place, nothing has happened. There's been no commitment. They have failed to deal with any issues of corruption. And in the only instance when they tried to do that, we saw commissioners being arrested.
Transparency International Zimbabwe boss Lofty Duwe on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. The Zimbabwe Activists Alliance says it is surprised and disturbed by police move to invite its members to a joint Operation Command meeting after it had notified them of its intention to march on the streets Saturday to commemorate Valentine's Day. Zimbabwe Activists Alliance coordinator Tendai Lynette Mudewe says they informed the police Internal Security Intelligence, or PC, of their intended march yesterday, but were surprised to get the invitation instead. A JOC comprises of the police, army, central intelligence agents, and the Zimbabwe Prison Services. This year's march is dubbed I Love My Zimbabwe. Mudewe says even though the police had not responded to their letter, they will go ahead and attend the Thursday meeting.
We notified the police. I personally went to the letter to notify the police about our Valentine's march that is dubbed I Love You Zimbabwe, where Zimbabweans activists and every Zimbabwean who loves Zimbabwe and are patriotic are saying we want to show our love for Zimbabwe. So we went to the police to notify them that we were going to be having a march in Harare on Saturday, the 13th of February, 2016. The police, that is the PC department, they refused to give us a receipt of a letter to confirm receipt of the letter. Instead, they have invited us for a JOC meeting for the Harare Central Police Station.
Are you going to attend this meeting, and also are you going to go ahead with your march on Saturday?
The march will go ahead on Saturday because we have complied with the law to notify the police, and being invited for that meeting is already a show that we have notified the police, because if we had not notified the police, there is no way that they would have invited us for the meeting. So the march is going on. The meeting we are going to attend and try and find out what it is. Maybe there's an information that they need from us. So we are going to go there and answer the questions, maybe the information that they want to hear from us. But in terms of going ahead with the demonstration, we are going to be following the Constitution of Zimbabwe, Section 59, that allows Zimbabwe to demonstrate or petition the government or any other agent or any other person that they've got an issue with.
That was Zimbabwe Activists Alliance coordinator Tendai Lynette Mudewe in Harare. Studio 7 could not get a comment from the police.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
Democratic socialist Bernie Sanders and outspoken Republican billionaire Donald Trump coasted to big victories in their respective party presidential primaries in New Hampshire on Tuesday, but the focus of the U.S. presidential campaign quickly moved to upcoming votes in South Carolina and Nevada.
A new Afrobarometer survey shows a decline in support for democracy in South Africa amid growing discontent in how it's being implemented.
In our diaspora segment today, Zimbabwean-born Philip Siwanda, who is now resident in Manchester in the United Kingdom, a few years ago started a small project of putting together some used clothes and shoes to go and distribute to orphans and children from Zimbabwean families that are poor. This project, Siwanda says, started off small, but it has grown to an extent that he has since adopted an orphanage school in Mashingo, which he is supporting with supplies and needs. Studio 7's Praxidis Jeremiah spoke to Siwanda on his project.
When I left Zimbabwe in 2002, I used to have good friends. But when I went back after some few years, I found that almost 9 to 10 colleagues had died. And some of them died because we don't want to hide the truth. They died of the epidemic, you know, the diseases, different diseases. Anyway, you know, their children, when they saw me coming back, it was like they were seeing their fathers and whatever. So I promised them that next time when I come, I'll bring you some clothes, you know, and that's what I promised them. When I went back, I brought them some drums full of clothes, a Toyota Masingo. That was the beginning of Philip. I grew up in the rural areas, one place, Filabusi. When I was at school, you know, I couldn't afford to have shoes, you know. I was brought up by my grandparents. My mother brought me on her own. So I said, you know, the way I grew up, I mean, why can't I take this chance of helping the people back home? So I approached my colleagues in England, friends. So I started asking for shoes. So they started giving me a lot of clothes, and I decided that let me get some drums and fill them with drums. I'm actually running a charity called Bopoma in the village in Masingo, whereby I'm helping 402 children, orphans in Masingo, in Zaka. That's what I do. Whenever I think of those people, sometimes I cry, PJ.
I needed to ask you that. What made you start the project?
When I thought about where I come from, you know, right now there's someone who has been wearing a one shirt for the last 7 days, right? It happened to me. It happened to you, PJ. It happens to your sisters. It happens
yes.
to you. And that is something which we cannot hide, right? If I go home, you know, I remember one day when I was in Masvingo, I was playing pool. And, you know, I'm good at pool. And people were, you know, they used to come and because they used to know me. So they used to come. And this young lad was wearing a Manchester T-shirt. I will never forget that. He was wearing a Manchester United T-shirt number 9. And I saw him for the last 5 days, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He was wearing the same thing. You understand? So anyway, to cut things short, the reason why I started is, you know, I know where I come from, and I knew that people they need of these things. So I say to myself, whenever I go, I need to bring them something. It's like you when you go to the shops, you come back, your children they're expecting you to bring some sweets and other things in the house.
Obviously, this project has grown from where you started off last year. How much goodies did you bring back home?
Last year, and that is a very recent one, which was in September, I had 15 drums of clothes. To be honest enough, PJ, I don't want to lie, I had to give some of my family. I mean, you know, and I tell the people that some of my family, they know. I had to give some of my family. I had 15 drums. A drum is about 210 liters, the size of a drum. So imagine me filling every drum of 210 liters with clothes, you know, with clothes. So imagine I had a 7.5 ton truck full of clothes, right? So the school, I donated, I think, 9 drums full of clothes. And then I had to go to Masvingo General Hospital, and I had to go to Philippus. I had to go to Bulawayo. I had to go to, you know, the local communities where I come from, Gwanda. I was going all the way giving relatives as well.
Your future plans?
PJ, I have got some football boots which I wanted to go and give the school and which are definitely going to the school. But my future plan is if I can get Zimbabweans who are willing to work with me, we start an academy football for this orphanage. That's what I want. I want to see those children one day, one of them play for a big team like Manchester United, Arsenal. I want these children to be happy, and they... If these children are not happy, I'm not going to stop.
That was Zimbabwean Philip Siwanda speaking in Studio 7's Praxidis Jeremiah from Manchester, United Kingdom.
20 female entrepreneurs will leave the country Saturday for the Netherlands, where they will have a week-long trade visit to exchange ideas with other business people in that country. The trade visit was organized by the Netherlands Embassy in partnership with ZimTrade. The entrepreneurs will be drawn from different trades, including agriculture, horticulture, events, and waste management. Deputy Head of Mission Anna Sieski Brinks says the trade mission is important as it will create sustainable capacity for the female entrepreneurs while showcasing what Zimbabwe has to offer international markets. Ms. Brinks speaks to us on the mission.
20 female entrepreneurs from Zimbabwe will be leaving to the Netherlands. They will arrive on Sunday, and they will have a full program in the Netherlands. The program has different components. There is a training element to it, which for a day they will be practicing elevator pitches, online marketing, and those kind of topics. They will be visiting companies in the Netherlands that have shown interest in their products or in possibly partnering with them. There will be matchmaking. There will be themed dinners around innovation and EU guidelines for import. So what we're trying to do is to make a complete program as possible for them in order to enhance the bilateral trade between the two countries.
Why women in particular? Why is it not a mixed group?
The goal of the trade mission is twofold. Now, first and foremost, it aims to promote trades between the Netherlands and Zimbabwe, and this is in line with the aid trade agenda the Dutch government adopted a few years ago. But besides stimulating trade, we wanted to focus on female entrepreneurs because we wanted to advance the position of women within Zimbabwe. And while progress has been made over the past years, there remains a lot of space for further improving the opportunities for women across the country. And to further this goal, the selected female entrepreneurs have been selected to come to the Netherlands and to see where this leads. We really hope that this is going to lead to a beautiful cooperation between Dutch and Zimbabwean companies.
What areas would you say the female entrepreneurs are concentrating on?
We've selected the entrepreneurs with thriving business in sectors that are relevant to the Netherlands. So that would be agriculture and food, horticulture, and creative industry. And these are three sectors that the Dutch government has labeled a top sector. So we expect that the trade mission will lead to a win-win situation where Dutch expertise meets Zimbabwean needs and the other way around. And there's also companies from the construction scene, tourism and event management, and there's even a company that produces blinds and shutters in Zimbabwe. So it's very diverse.
That was the deputy head of mission at the Netherlands Embassy, Anne Sieski Brinks, speaking to us from Harare.
The bitter succession rivals in ZANU-PF were threatening to unravel following the busing in of thousands of ZANU-PF loyalists ahead of a tense political meeting in Harare today. However, the tensions between the rival factions fizzled out when President Robert Mugabe called the perceived rival camps to order.
Speaking at a mini-rally organized by the Women's League before ZANU-PF's crucial Politburo meeting that was still in session at the time of going on air, Hurungwe East Member of Parliament Sarah Mahoka said it was high time that Mnangagwa, also known by his supporters as Ngwena, declares if he has presidential ambitions. President Mugabe did not directly respond to Mahoka's assertions, but acknowledged that the factional wars within the party had been discussed at Tuesday's cabinet, adding today's Politburo meeting would discuss the issue that has threatened to tear the party apart.
These are members of the Politburo that we are talking about who are doing this and making ordinary members unsettled. We must sit down and talk about this, iron out any differences that we have if need be.
Mahoka also denigrated those wearing T-shirts with the crocodile symbol and said this was furthering divisions in the party. Mahoka also attacked the Herald newspaper, which she accused of fanning factionalism. She also accused the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Information, George Charamba, of misusing his position to push his own agenda. Mahoka pleaded with Mr. Mugabe to discipline both Charamba and the Herald newspaper that is increasingly being accused by one rival faction of being used by the one said to be sympathetic to Vice President Mnangagwa. ZANU-PF Women's League, who is also the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, also discouraged the factionalism in the party. Grace Mugabe also revealed that she's living in fear after the alleged attempted bombing of their family's Alpha Omega Dairy by members of a fringe political party called Zimbabwe People's Front, whose leader was yesterday jailed for 9 years for the attempted bombing of the first family's property. While Mr. Mnangagwa was not given any time to respond to the Women's League allegations, some of the ZANU-PF supporters who attended the rally said there was no problem in having presidential ambitions. Another ZANU-PF supporter, Timothy Moyo, however, told Studio 7 that the VP should indeed come out, especially for his constituency, and declare his aspirations. War Veterans leader Chris Mutswangwa had said that they were going to disrupt the mini-rally and stop Education Minister Jonathan Moyo from attending the Politburo meeting, but this did not happen. Factionalism has rocked the ruling party, resulting in social media wars among some members who are said to be positioning themselves in the event that Mugabe leaves office.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Before we go there, Marvelous, so we need to remind our listeners that there is live talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be discussing with you, the listeners and the experts, about the bitter divisions and the succession battles in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
And back to our top stories, the bitter succession rivalries in ZANU-PF that were threatening to unravel following the busing in of thousands of ZANU-PF loyalists to Harare today became an anti-climax.
Faced with drought, Mashingo villagers say they are now being forced to fork out money for President Mugabe's $80,000 birthday bash.
And the watchdog group Transparency International Zimbabwe is cautiously lauding the government's anti-corruption drive.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.